love him tonight. Isn't he wonderful? My. Sometimes I get thinking about what's going on and what I'm seeing. And through this little body of Christ, and it just blows me away. I'm serious. I just get overwhelmed. I think, oh, what a mighty God. What a mighty God. What he's done and how he's gone about doing it. And it is not the way any of us would have chosen it. Because we all want to go to heaven on a flowery bed of ease. Don't you? I do. Never was God's plan. But here we are. We're heading for heaven his way. Amen. And that just gives you confidence, doesn't it? Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we are grateful for you. You are so wonderful. You love us and you take care of us and you lead us and you guide us. And Lord, when times are rough, you're still with us. And when times are going easier, you're still with us. And you just keep so faithful to us, Lord. So tonight, Lord, we come very much in expectation, Lord, that you will continue this work that you have started. You are the author and the finisher. You will complete this, what you have started, Lord. And we're here to take another step forward, Lord. And the word that you want to bring, I just pray will have the effect that you want it to have, Lord. Help me, Lord, just to step back and, Lord, just let you take complete control, Lord. And if I can do that, Lord, and if we can pull on it, if we can hear what you have for us, then, Lord, we can go home and you can be pleased. And it will have the effect that you want it to have. We ask this, Lord. It's a great thing we ask, but Father, you are a mighty God. So we ask this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. 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 If you would turn to Revelation, we're going to read out of the 8th chapter and the 10th chapter there. Very, very familiar scriptures. Very familiar scriptures. Revelation 8 and verse 1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. If you turn over to Revelation 10, verse 1, and I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. He had in his hand a little book open. He set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. You may be seated. Tonight, I want to pick up where we left off the last several services about the threefold purpose, God's threefold purpose, and the way he fulfills his word. And I want to title this, Breaking the Silence. And I don't know if I'm going to get to that part of it, but this might go a little longer. I don't know how it's going to go, but we do want to come to a point where I'm going to speak about breaking the silence, Lord willing. Let's go back to March 1963. And this Brother Branham had come to Jeffersonville to preach the opening of the seals. And he started, of course, with the first couple of services in that series was God in Simplicity. Then he preached the breach. Then he started in the seals. And there was such an expectation. Here was the opening, in other words, something that had been sealed up in the Bible since the time of forever ago, right? John saw it on the Isle of Patmos. He wrote about it. But the seals and everything, you know, Jesus had spoke about the seals, and he hadn't called it that, but he had actually preached it in a way when we in Matthew 24. And the people were there, and I don't know if Brother Jim and Sister Joyce were there or not. I know my mom and dad were there for the first part of this series and the last part of it. And I've talked to him about it, and there is such an expectation. He came in one seal after another. He'd come out there, he'd preach it, and he saw the horse riders, the fifth seal, the souls under the altar, the sixth seal, the tribulation, and all these things. And it was such a time, and it was just the prophet was in such a realm of revelation. He'd come out there, and it was fresh from the Word of God, and it was so different than everyone expected. Now, who would have ever thought the white horse was not the Holy Spirit? Brother Branham had preached it earlier in his ministry that was actually the Holy Spirit. And he came out and said, that's the Antichrist in deception. And it was just such a wonderful time. It was building up and it was building up and it was building up until the seventh seal. And the people who were there, they didn't know what was going to happen. People were expecting the rapture to happen as soon as he preached the seventh seal. It was going to be this most wonderful time. And people got there just so expecting, so excited. What was this greatest seal? Because nothing had been written about it. He said when he opened it, it was silent. So this was going to be, oh my goodness, what is this going to be? It's got to be the coming of the Lord. And they came and he preached it. What a letdown. People walked out of there totally confused. What did he say? My mom said something like this. She said, I don't like saying this. She said something like this. She said, I don't like saying this, but I was bored. Can you imagine the first time the seventh seal being preached? And she said, that was boring. I didn't know what he was talking about. You've read it. You've heard it. Do you know what he was talking about? There's things in there. I read that. I say, no idea. Don't know what he's talking about. Not all of it, but a lot of it. So I'm going to read a lot of quotes tonight, and this is it from the seventh seal, some of this. And we're going to see what he says. Towards the end of the seal, he says this. This is towards the end of the seventh seal. He says, now what this great secret is that lays beneath this seal, I do not know. I don't know it. I couldn't make it out. I couldn't tell it just what it said. So here he preached the seventh seal. He said, I'm preaching it. It's going to open the seal. He turned around towards the end and he said, I don't even know what it is. No wonder people were confused. He said, but I know that it was them seven thunders uttering themselves right close together. We just read those seven thunders. They would happen and John was going to write what they were. And the voice spoke and said, don't write those. Don't write them down. And now he comes to preach it, and he's ready to say it, and he comes out and says, I don't know what it was, but it's those seven thunders. He said they utter themselves right close together, just banging seven different times, and it unfolded into something else that I seen. Then when I seen that, I looked for the interpretation that flew across there, and I couldn't make it out. That's exactly right, friend. The hour isn't quite yet for it, but it's moving into the cycle. It's coming up close. So he saw something flying across there. He couldn't interpret it. He said, it's not time for it yet. Is it any wonder so many people around the message believe the seventh seal is not open yet? Because he just sat there and said it wasn't. He said it wasn't time yet for it. He said it's coming into the cycle. It's coming up close. So the thing for you to do is remember that I speak to you in the name of the Lord. Be prepared. For you don't know what time something can happen. She said, it didn't happen yet. It's coming up close. So be prepared because you don't know what time something can happen. All right? A little bit later in the same seal, he says, now there was some reason that God let the seven voices be thundered because it must come. Whatever those seven thunders are, it has to happen, folks. Whatever it is. It must come. We find that Christ, the Lamb, took the book in his hand. He opened the seventh seal. But you see, it's a hidden mystery. No one knows it. It's right along with what he said. No one would know his coming. They also would not know about this seventh thunder mystery. So you see, it's connected together. So he said, no one knows the time Christ is coming. The same thing. They don't know the seven thunder mystery. He said, but it's connected together. All right? That much we have an understanding of it today, because the rest of it is all unfolded. But this is not unfolded. He's talking about the rest of the seals unfolded. The seventh is not unfolded. But sitting in my room, and I heard this, or not heard it rather, but seen it unfold to this seven thunders. So he said everything came up to the seven thunders. Now that's as far as we can go right there. And now I trust that each and every one of you will serve God and do that which is right and love him with all your life and serve him. And God will take care of the rest. Brother and sister, he gave a secret right there that how many people don't do it, don't follow it. God will take care of the rest. But what happens is people get in there and they try to interpret it. They try to figure this out. They try to, well, this is what's going on and that's what's going on, and try to make it make sense. He said, don't worry about it. God will take care of it. What a simple little statement with so much meaning. So much meaning. God will take care of it. He said, now we have in the completion here now, by the grace of God, all the mysteries of the sixth seal that's been sealed up. We understand and know here that the seventh seal is not to be known to the public. Well, he's making a pretty good case to say the seventh seal has not been opened yet, hasn't he? He said it's not to be open to the public. All right? Now, his coming and the hour of his coming, when the destruction of the earth. You know, he said here, what will be the sign of the coming of the end of the world in Matthew 24? There where they asked him that question, he went down to that. He told about Israel being gathered as a nation. But when he started off, I'm sorry, but then he started off on parables. You see, learn a parable of the fig tree. When you see it putting forth its bud, why, you know it's spring. And then when you see this coming to pass, then know the sign, the time is nigh. So he's paralleling down through there all the first seals and first six seals, and Brother Branham takes, I think is in the sixth seal, I don't remember for sure, but he shows where one of the couple of verses in Matthew 24 correlated with something with the first seal, a couple more verses correlated with second seal, and all the way down. But Jesus was actually preaching the sixth seal, the first six seals. He got to the seventh seal and he quit preaching it. He went off talking about parables. He did not preach the seventh seal. See Israel gathering in his own homeland. But you notice he omitted the revelation of the seventh seal. And here when the seventh seal, when he opened it, he also omitted it again. Omitted it again. So you see that is a complete mystery. Therefore, the hour is not yet for these mysteries to be known. Therefore, we're this far and the rest of it will be known right about the time that Jesus appears on earth again for the bride, or whatever else takes place at that time. Or whatever takes place at that time. Now, until that time, let's just pray, live good Christian, straight Christian lives, looking forward for his coming. Now, and towards the end of the seal, here Brother Branham stood there and preached those things, and he said the seventh seal hadn't been opened. Now, let's take something else. I'm laying a foundation here, so just stay with me if you can. I know it's a lot of quotes, but we need to put them all in here. Now he says this. And now as certain as I stand in the platform tonight, I'm sorry, this is still during the seventh seal when he's preaching it. As certain as I stand in the platform tonight, I had the revelation that revealed. He said, I had the revelation that revealed, talking about the seventh seal. He said, it's in a threefold manner. That I will speak to you by God's help of a fold of it. Let's go over there first. Here's a revelation to begin. What I want to tell you about, what happened is those seven thunders that he heard thunder was forbidden to write. That's what the mystery is laying behind those seven consecutive thunders rolling out. Now, why? Let's prove it. Why? It's the secret that no one knows about. John was forbidden to write about it, even write a symbol about it. Why? This is why there was no activity in heaven. It might give away the secret. Do you see it now? It is so great, it must be included because it's got to happen. But when the seven thunders, when the seven angels came forth to sound the trumpet, there was one thunder. I'm going to skip a little just because it's talking about that. He said the heavens couldn't write about it. Heaven can't know about it. Nothing else, because there's nothing to go on. It's a relaxing time. It's so great till it's kept secret from the angels. Why? If Satan should get a hold of it, he might do great damage. There's one thing he doesn't know. Now, he can interpret anything he wants and impersonate any kind of a gift. I hope you're learning. But he can't know this. It's not even written in the Word. It's a total secret. The angels, everything shut up. If they made one move, it might give something away. So they just shut up, quit harping. Everything stopped. But now, if you go back, let me just read it again. Listen, he said, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. After he opened it. It wasn't silence in heaven before it was opened. So this silence happened after it was opened. Amen. Think about it. A lot of people want to say, well, that silence in heaven, because he hasn't opened yet, so there's silence until he opens it. That's not what the Bible says. He opened the seal, the Lamb opened the seal, and then there is silence in heaven. All right? But yet it's still a secret. Why? Because Satan, if he could get a hold of this and know what this is, he said, he does not know this. This is why he doesn't know. And if he could get a hold of it, he could do a lot of damage. Now, we're not going to speak any more on that. That's, Lord willing, coming up in the future about the damage he could do. But look, brother and sister, all those first six seals, Satan sat there and listened. He saw what was going on. But it didn't stop that from happening, because he could not do a lot of damage with that. But there's something about the seventh seal that he can do great damage. It's the grace seal. Let me read some more here. He said in Sabina Canyon, he said, this is the third pull. And there's three great things that goes with it, and one unfolded yesterday, the other one unfolded today, and there's one thing that I cannot interpret because it's in an unknown language. But I was standing right there and looked straight at it, and this is the third pull coming up. He said, that's the reason all heaven was silent. He said, now I'd better stop right here. I just feel checked not to say no more about it. Just remember, the seventh seal, the reason it was not open, the reason it did not reveal it, no one should know about it. Notice now, for the end time message, this seal, he's revealed all the six seals, but don't say nothing about the seventh. And the end time seal, called by the seventh, when it starts, will be absolutely a total secret according to the Bible. Before knowing that, remember Revelation 10, 1 through 7, at the end of the seventh angel's message, all the mystery of God would be known. We're at the end time, the opening of the seventh seal. But it's going to be a total secret. So how can this be, brother and sister, when Brother Branham is going to preach or open the seventh seal? He said it's not open yet here, but it's got to open, but it's going to come as a total secret so the public, so Satan and everyone else don't know about it. You still with me? I know we're reading a lot, but we've got to put it in place so that you know where I'm coming from, because otherwise Satan can take it. You'll read this later and say, oh, what about this quote? I'm throwing them all out there. So if Satan wants to harass you with it, you say, Brother Phil already covered that. All right? One more thing I want to quote, get to here. Now, did you notice that one angel? Okay, he's talking about the cloud. He's caught up the angels, right? Do you notice that one angel? I said it, there was a strange angel. He looked more to me than the rest of them. You remember that? They were in a constellation, three on a side and one on top. And the one right next to me here, counting from left to right, would have been the seventh angel. He was brighter, meant more to me than the rest. You remember I said he had his chest out like that and was flying eastward. You remember that? I said it picked me up. It lifted me up. Do you remember that? Here it is. The one with the seventh seal. The thing I've wondered about all my life. Amen. Them other seals meant a lot to me, of course. But, oh, you don't know what this has meant. He said, I was taken up, the constellation of angels, the cloud, right? He said that one was meant more to me because it was the seventh one. He was the one with the seventh seal. All the angels had their own seal. They revealed it as Brother Brandon went through. But this one had the seventh. He said this meant the more to me than the rest of them. And yet he still didn't know what it was. Think about it. He didn't know what it was, but he said that meant the most to him. Now, let me get off track a second. The cloud. It's caused the biggest stir over the last several years because all these people say it couldn't have happened the way Brother Branham said it. Because when that cloud went up, he was in Houston, Texas. And yet when Brother Branham talks, he would talk like he was right there, it was right above him. He was caught up into it. And it was a couple days later before he even showed up in Arizona. Now, I don't know all the details about it, but that's basically what I've been picking up by listening to people talk, reading things. All right? And that's why people like Brother Jeff Jenkins have left the message. That was the main catalyst as far as what I understand about the situation. Like I said, I don't know much about it, but that's what I'm understanding. Well, say, well, Brother Phil, doesn't that throw you off? Explain it then. Explain how Brother Branham could say that. He was right there when that cloud went up. He was caught up, but he was in Houston, Texas at the time, and that cloud was nowhere close to Houston, Texas. Surely you lose confidence. Surely it makes you wonder, was he lying? Explain this to me. Except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. What's he talking about, Peter? I don't know. John, can you believe what he just said? Hardly. Well, what did he mean? I don't know. I don't know. One time he said, the Son of Man is standing before you, who is in heaven. He's talking about himself. He said, the Son of Man is in heaven. What does he mean? How can you be right here and be in heaven at the same time? Is he lying? Explain that to me. At the time, they could not. Brother Phil explained about the cloud. I cannot. I don't know. How he could say that was he was here and he was there and all this stuff, I don't know. Can I be honest with you just a second? Not that I'm not being honest. You know what? Right now, I really don't care. I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. I don't care. It just hasn't been revealed to me all about the cloud. But you know what it has done? It has called people to stumble and leave. You know why? They were looking for an excuse to leave to begin with because they did not want to be under the headship or the message of the hour. They did not want to be under it. They did not want to accept it. Why? Because they had never been birthed by the message of the hour. Because when you're birthed by the message, you're not looking for a way out. You want to get further in. You're not trying to find a way out. It's not some kind of a slavery. It's not something that, oh, I'm just pushing. I just can't stand this headship. I just need to find a little breathing room. It's just too hard. No. When you're born again, you say, oh, I just want more of that because you recognize it's the love of God. It is changing you into something that you couldn't be without it. They came to Peter, and Jesus himself said, now, Peter, you don't understand a thing I said about eating my flesh and drinking my blood, do you? No, sir, you want to leave too? No, you have the words of life. Brother and sister, I'm not even tempted to walk away because I don't understand about the cloud, because I know that the words of life came through the message of the hour. And not because I saw miracles, but because I seen this word changing human nature. I see it changing lives. I see it fulfilling what Brother Branham said it was supposed to do. Now, I'm going to take all that body of evidence against one thing I don't understand and say, well, forget it, I'm walking away. You have lost your mind. Come on, folks. All that God has done for us under the auspices, under the headship of the message of the hour. And because I don't understand one part of it, I'm going to walk away. You wanted to leave. You are looking for an excuse. You can't explain it. Can you explain everything in this Bible? I say you can. Now who's lying? Tell me you can explain everything in the Bible that all makes sense. Come on. What is it, folks? People are looking for a way out. They're looking for an excuse. I heard someone else say, the reason I left the mess, used to be a very prominent believer. You'd all know him if I said his name. He said, the reason I left the message, because I saw the lives that so many message preachers were living, they didn't bear the fruit they were supposed to. Oh my goodness! If you go to Kroger and buy a bag of apples and three of them are rotten, just throw away the whole bag? Well, I'm not eating apples anymore because I bought some rotten ones. All that means is there's some good ones somewhere, folks. Come on. What is it? They never were birthed by the word. They're birthed by an education. They're birthed by a spirit. They're by, you know, on their spirit realm. They're birthed by some doctrine. They're birthed into a church. They're birthed by some kind of social feeling or some emotion. You're birthed by the word, brother and sister. And this it means so much, you can't get you out of here. You're not here for some social event tonight. You're not here because you believe certain doctrine. You're here because something inside of you draws you, and the only way you can satisfy that thirst is through the word. Try and get you to leave. Brother, sister, I'll tell you something right now. If you all got up here and said, you know what, I don't believe this message anymore, I'm out of here. You know what it would do to me? It would tear me up. I love you. You're my best friends. And you know what I would do Sunday morning? I'd be sitting right in that pew. You all want to leave? Hit the road. But don't expect me to follow your moronic behavior. Hey, man, I have sold out. Something has happened to me. I can't leave if I wanted to and I don't want to. Oh, my. Think about it. Someone wants to get on the internet and talk you out of it. Someone wants to get on the internet and say, the horrible life I led when I was forced to go to message church. Okay, then just leave. What are you trying to tell? What are you trying to convince everyone else? You know why they have to convince it? Oh, you know what they're telling? We need to get all you people out of the mess that we can. Of course they got to get you out of there because Satan wants you to go to hell with them. I said Satan wants you to go to hell with them. That's what it's about. They're trying to get you to leave God, to go off and do something else, to talk you out of it. Amen. Brother and sister, if they can talk you out of it, you never had it to begin with. Amen, when you're sealed, you think you can break God's seal? You're sealed away until the day of your redemption. Oh my goodness, that makes me happy. Everyone else is going to fall away, brother and sister. Everyone. You can't stop them. No. I'm getting way ahead of myself on what I was planning on getting to tonight. But brother and sister, why is this grape falling away? It's the shock pulling away. I'm so ahead of myself, but I can't hold it. Look, brother and sister, when does the shock pull away? When it no longer has to protect. It no longer has to protect the seed. The seed has to sit in the presence of the hot, blazing August sun to come to maturity. Amen. Have you been sitting in the sun? Have you been has it been blazing down? Has it been molding all the greenness out of you, ripening you? Look at yourself! And all the rest of the people are pulling away. Why? Because we no longer need them to protect us. You're out there all by yourself, folks. It ain't you and your wife, it ain't you and your pastor, it ain't you and your kids. It's you by yourself. It's you and the sun. And if everyone else leaves, you just stay there. Absolutely. Boy, it's hot. Yes, it is. There are people who are outside in today, this weather we've had. Man, it's cold. I can't wait till summertime. And as soon as it hits 90 degrees, man, I can't wait till it gets cold. Well, I understand that, naturally. But the reality is, for you spiritually, when it gets to 90, you're going to say, oh, I can't wait till it gets to 100. I can't wait till it gets to 120. Why? Because spiritually, it's getting all that nasty stuff out of you. And you're seeing the very character of Christ being ripened into you. Oh my goodness, the more you see that, the closer we are to the end. They can get on the internet or do whatever and say all they want and ridicule you and mock you and say this people are wrong and all the message ministers are so crazy and all this kind of stuff. And I was just amazed. I was on there not long ago, you can tell. I don't like doing that, but I was looking for something. And I got on there, and I read all this stuff. And these people who used to be around the mess, and they have all these really professional, great videos put up there proving the message is wrong. Oh, shut up. Come on. You really think that you can talk the bride away from the word? Of course, they don't think we're bride. They think we're deceived. It's all right with me. It just shows who we are, brother and sister. Back to the seventh seal. Look, just one thing about the cloud. You say, Brother Phil, you don't understand it. No, I don't. I believe it's there to be a stumbling block, just like the things Jesus said about eating his flesh. He knew they're going to be offended by it. He knew they're going to walk away, and that's one reason he told them the truth, and they walked away from it. I believe Brother Branham told the truth. People are walking away because they can't explain it, but you and I said, hey, this message has the words of life. Where else would we go? Where else are you going to go? One day we're going to understand it, all by and by. Whether it's in this life or the next life, who cares? If something like that throws you for a loop, I suggest you get a better understand, get a more solid revelation of what this message is about. Because if that throws you for a loop, I can show you 100 other things in the message that'll throw you for a loop too. So Brother Branham preached on that Sunday evening. In March of 1963, he preached, and at the end of the seventh seal, he said it in different times. I read to you how it's just not time yet for the opening of the seventh seal. It hasn't been opened yet. It's not time yet. It's going to happen. It's going to be a secret. But that angel that came to me brought the seventh seal, and it meant more to me than the rest of them. I wonder if people walked out of there a little bit confused, like, what is he talking about? God was not satisfied with how that went. Because Brother Branham went the next day, that Monday, he went to a hotel room, and he put another ending to the seventh seal. You say, well, how do you know it was God? Because Brother Branham would not have done that on his own. God put on his heart to go, and he said, now listen, I don't like the way that came out. I want you to preach it different. Ain't that amazing? The very messenger of the age, the prophet, had to go and re-preach the end of it because it had not come out exactly the way God wanted it to come out. So if I say something that don't come out right, give me a little grace, okay? So I'm going to read some of the things he said the next day in that hotel room. He's talking about how Satan shouldn't know because he could do great damage. He said, will be a good thing he doesn't know anything about it, because if he did, he would impersonate that. So he said, if Satan knew the opening of the seventh seal, he would impersonate it, and that's how he's going to do the damage. Now, excuse me, how does Satan impersonate something? Through the preaching. He gets his preachers up there and preaching it and twisting it all up. He says that's his trick in doing it. So therefore, God has made it so hid to the whole world, even to heaven, that there's no way of understanding it, only as God will reveal it himself. So there's no way to understand this except God reveals it to you. Now, I want you to notice tonight that in the sixth seal, there was a threefold purpose of the sixth seal. There was a threefold purpose of the horse rider, a threefold purpose in all these things. That brings us back to a three and a seven. Again, seven seals, seven vials, and so forth. And I skipped down and he said, now, do you notice on the opening of the seventh seal, it's also in a threefold mystery. Now, I preached a lot of this a couple weeks ago, talking about the threefold purpose and how you have four horse riders, but it's still a threefold purpose. The four beasts, it's a threefold purpose. You have the three beasts, but that last one is the purpose that came to serve. All these others are just the strength that gives that fourth one the purpose, the ability to do it. He said, this one I will speak and has spoke that is the mystery of the seven thunders. Let me put this all together. He said, notice on the opening of the seventh seal, it's also in a threefold mystery. This one, the threefold mystery, I will speak and have spoke. It is the mystery of the seven thunders. The seven thunders in heaven will unfold this mystery. It'll be right at the coming of Christ because Christ said no one knew when he would return. So this threefold mystery of the seventh seal is the seven thunders. He said it right there. My. Did you notice when the Jews asked him that? Skip down a little bit. You know, when we compared the scripture here with Matthew 24 with the sixth seal, the seventh seal was left out. Let me stop back, go back a little bit. Now, he mentioned the threefold purpose a little bit when he preached the seventh seal, but when he came back to the hotel room, and I didn't read the whole thing because I read most of it last, 2 weeks ago, but he really emphasizes on that threefold mystery. The threefold part of that. He emphasized it very strongly that Monday, much stronger than he did when he preached the original seals. That's significant, brother and sister. He wants to get the point across that it was a threefold mystery for the seventh seal, just like the other, for the sixth seal. He said, now, you know, we compared it, talking about Matthew 26. He had the sixth seal, the seventh was left out. Because Christ said only God himself knew, not even the angels. No wonder it wasn't even written. You see, they hushed. Nothing take place then. Angels don't know it. Nobody knows when he's coming. But there will be seven voices of these thunders that will reveal the great revelation at that time. So if we don't know it, and it won't be known till that time, it will be revealed in that day, in the hour that it's supposed to be revealed in. So he said, it's going to happen. And brother and sister, we read that in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the mystery of God will be finished. What does finished mean? It's been revealed. It's been opened. It's been accomplished. You read a mystery book, a murder mystery. So at the beginning, someone gets killed. And then you spend the rest of the book trying to find out who killed them. Well, at the end, that mystery is solved, it's finished, it's revealed, because now you know what happened. It's no longer a mystery. That's what's happening, brother and sister. When the mystery of God is revealed to those people who have ears to hear, it's no longer a mystery, because now we understand what was God's threefold purpose. It's as simple as you can get, brother and sister. It's laid out there just so simple. If we can just humble ourselves, get down there and say, just take him for what he said. We find that the sixth seal has been opened to us. We see it. We know what the seventh seal cannot be broke to the public until that hour arrives. Let me read one more quote. He's back. This was Monday. He's talking about those seven angels. He said the angel was to my left would really be the last or seventh angel if you would count them from left to right. He came to me on my left, me looking to him towards the west. Him coming towards the east would be on the left side, so that would be the last angel's message. Very notable. Remember how I said he had kind of his head back, his great sharp wings, how he flew right to me? Now that is this seventh seal. It still is a notable thing. We don't know what it is yet because it's not been permitted to be broken. But now each one of you in the meetings have noticed that the meeting's been what a meeting it's been. Everybody just seemed to be right on the edge of their seat. Everybody standing around here at 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon waiting for the doors to open to come in and sit, standing around the walls, cramped limbs and everything. What is it? It's been the Holy Spirit sending down these messengers, the angels, and they have been revealing it to us, and then notice how it's dovetailed with the word exactly. So he came back that Monday, he preached on it, he emphasized the threefold mystery, he talked again about how the angels picked him up and how that one with the seventh angel, that was the seventh seal, and he came up, but he said, but still it's not been permitted to be spoken. So with all that said, you take that just at strictly face value with a carnal interpretation, your own interpretation, and you say, well, Brother Branham has to come back and finish opening the seals because the Bible says it's in the days of the voice of that messenger when the seals are opened. He hasn't opened them. He has to come back and preach it. You can understand why people would believe that, can't you? I hope you can because it's pretty obvious. But yet, Brother Jerry's preached many times the seventh seal is open. Hasn't he? Well, what's he talking about? I preached it. I believe it. Most of you probably believe the seventh seal is open. I hope you do. If you don't, maybe after tonight you will. But Brother Branham said it wasn't. So you can get into a good theological argument, couldn't you? Because you know what? What you need to do then is find where, if you say it's open, Brother Branham need to come back and say, okay, this is the seventh seal, and he need to preach the opening of the seventh seal again. Because it didn't happen the first time. Right? Did he ever do that? No, he didn't. Brother Branham never came and said, okay, now I'm going to finish opening the seventh seal that wasn't permitted before. I'm going to preach it now. He never said that as far as I know. If he did, forgive me, I have never seen him say it. And I think I've heard most of the, I've heard all the sermons he preached after this several times. All right? So there's a problem. Either Brother Branham is not going to open the seventh seal, or he has to come back to open it, or he opened it. So we got to figure out what it is. Now remember, it's in a mystery. But that seventh angel came to him, and that was the seventh seal. It's got to be finished. It's during the days of the voice of the prophet. You say, well, we still have tapes, so we still have the voice. That is not what it means in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. Because if that's the case, if Paul would have had a tape recorder, we would say, well, this is still the days of the voice of Paul. Well, that's not the way it is, brother and sister. It's one that messenger is still on earth preaching. Brother Branham had to be the messenger who opened, who preached the seventh seal. Had to be, if the Bible is correct. So someplace between March of 1963 and the time where Brother Branham died, he had to preach the seventh seal. So what we need to do, brother and sister, is to find out when he preached the mystery of God. Because it says, in the days of the sounding of the voice of the seventh angel, the mystery of God would be finished. This is the great mystery of God. It's the great seal. It's the end time seal. This is what has to be happening. So all we have to do is go find a part, sometime when Brother Branham preached a message called the mystery of God. Did he ever preach that? Yes! He did. I mean, he took it word for word out of that verse and said, this I'm going to preach tonight on the mystery of God. But that's not all he called it, was it? He said, the mystery of God revealed, finished. He preached it. It's right out there in black and white. And he even told us what the mystery was. Christ is the mystery of God revealed. July 1963, about 4 months later, he went and preached a message called Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed. He said, this is it, brother and sister. It's right straight, word for word, out of Revelations 10, 7. Now I'm going to read you a quote out of that message. Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Listen to this. Because remember, it's got to come in a threefold mystery, right? The seventh seal, the mystery of God has to be revealed as a threefold mystery, a threefold purpose. He said this, God has had a threefold purpose in this great mystery secret. God in his great mystery secret that he had from before the world began, he's got a threefold purpose in it. And now what we want to go upon this morning is, what is that threefold purpose? Now I believe by the help of God who's present, he'll show it to us. There you go, brother and sister. It's black and white. It's laid out plain in front of you. The opening of the seventh seal preached in 1963, July. Christ is the mystery of God revealed. It's all right there. Well, why didn't he just come out and say, this is the seventh seal? Because it's got to be a secret. It's got to be hidden. And people will look at that and say, well, I don't know, Brother Phil, you're really stretching here. I'm not stretching at all. I'm telling you what the prophet said. He preached it, brother and sister. I believe that's why the seventh seal is open, because right there it is, the threefold purpose preached out. Now, he said, well, what is that? Lord willing, we're going to go into what the threefold purpose is. I mean, he preached 4 hours on it. I'm not going to preach, and I'm not, tonight. We're not preaching that tonight. All right? But we have to find out then, brother and sister, because, see, after he preached it, after the opening, then the silence. So after 1963, he preached this, the opening of the seal. Then there's silence about the space of half an hour, about 30 minutes of silence. What does that mean for our time? I don't know. It's been 53 years since that happened. Is that 30 minutes in God's time? I don't know. But brother and sister, after that time, what happens? That silence is broken. But look, that silence can't be broken until it's too late for Satan to damage it. See, brother and sister, that's why I got way ahead of myself. Because, brother and sister, what happens is after that time when Satan can't damage, why? Because all the shuck is pulled away. We're not going to be protected. We're not going to be deceived. It's just us out there. Satan can no longer stop the grain from coming to maturity. It can no longer warp us with that shut, preaching to us the wrong thing. It can no longer damage us, impersonating it, because we see the impersonators and we see the real, and we're no longer deceived by the impersonators, because when Christ has come to such a maturity that you can recognize the difference. Someone get up in this pulpit and start preaching something that's something off the word, or it's not bringing you to maturity, you're going to say, I don't know about that. That's not bringing me to maturity. Someone get up and say, you're the bride of Christ. You're a wonderful person. You're ready for the rapture. You're going to say, this guy's lying to me. I need more maturity. Just relax. Quit worrying about it. And you sure don't have to listen to the crazy preaching you have around here. Now it's time for you to shut up. Why? Because, brother and sister, that silence, that silence has been broken. We are no longer in the silent period, because now this word is starting to come to pass. And by the grace of God, as we more preach more on this, you're going to see exactly what I'm talking about if you don't see it now. I believe you do. Hallelujah. Do you see where we're at? This is where we are, spiritually speaking, brother and sister. We are so close. We are in the act, and we are in the cycle. We are. It's happening. What more can I say? We're no longer in that silent period. Christ is speaking. People are coming to maturity. It's happening all around us. I tell you what. I told you. About a year and a half or 2 years, I don't remember how long ago. Well, I was out hiking through the woods and God came and he gave me this. And I was on that hike about 6 miles, it's like a 9 mile hike. It took me about 6 hours. And almost the entire time I was walking through the woods and God was just taking this and just opening and showing me and showing me. And right towards the very end, just as I was about, he kind of faded off. And he said, but you can't preach this yet. He said, that church isn't ready for it. And so I waited. And I waited. Several weeks ago, I was down in Memphis hotel room, and I was thinking about it. He said, okay, preach it now. What happened between then and now? What does God see? I don't know, but I'll tell you this. He said this church was now ready for this. Why? Because we had come to maturity. We had gone through something. I don't know exactly what he saw, but brother and sister, he said now it's time to preach it because now this church is ready to hear this, that this is where we're at. That silence is broken. It's time. We are no longer in that silent time. Why? Because Satan can no longer damage you. He can no longer destroy you. The trials he gives you, it only is molding Christ. It's just the pressure. It's the pressure of this age. And it's molding us. And it's bringing us to maturity. And brother, sister, he cannot stop you. He might impersonate this all at once, but you're going to see through the impersonation. Let me just pick one out. Brother Jeff Jenkins, what a disgrace he's been because he has so much influence and he drew so many people. And yet you look at that and you say, I don't care what he did. I don't care what a name he had. I don't care what reputation. When he left, but I stayed. I was not weakened by him leaving. I'm not weakened by the impersonators. I have made my pay my price. I have made my decision. You can't get me to leave. Satan cannot do great damage to you anymore. It's too late. He's roaring. He's going running through the earth to and fro. He's raging like a lion without teeth. Why? Because he sees his time is short. Because all he has to do is cast his eyes over at you. And he says, oh, no, I'm in trouble. Amen. Remind him of it the next time he comes knocking at your door. Quit being a coward. Quit bucking down. Quit like kneeling out like, oh, no, Satan, leave me alone. Come on. He's terrified of you. You know what he's afraid of? You might believe what I'm saying. He's afraid that when Brother Jerry gets up and encouraged like that message we had Sunday, oh my goodness, how can you not walk out here encouraged? He's afraid you're going to believe that. And you are. Because he was stumbling around trying to figure out how to fool this and how to do this and all that, but he didn't know. And now it's too late. Let me finish by saying this. The trials that we've gone through, the trials that the bride goes through, you know, Paul said, everything works together for the good of those who the elect, right? Well, how does that work specifically? Let's look at this a second. The trials that you go through are specifically correlated to work with the gift God put in you. Think about it. To bring you to a point where that gift, those gifts in you, can be totally surrendered to God so he can use you for his glory. Because what he wants out of us is to manifest himself through the gift he gave you to manifest himself through. If you have a gift that of divine healing that you have faith to you pray and you're you can believe for divine healing, then God wants to use that gift to glorify himself. If you're... Let me make this real obvious. If you're not called to preach, then God's not going to use you to preach. That's not the gift he's given you, but he has given you a gift that he wants to use to manifest himself through. It's all about Christ manifesting himself through us. That's his whole point. Christ is the mystery of God. Finished. It's Christ. And who is Christ? He's the word for your day manifest. The seal didn't open so as we could recognize what Christ did on Calvary. We already knew that. The seal didn't open so we could recognize God sent a prophet. We already knew that. The seal is open so that the bride would know who she is. And she would have thus saith the Lord. And she would shut up if she didn't have it. She knows what he wants done with the word. And she does it. That's why the seals were open. That's what the seventh seal is about. It's to manifest Christ for you to manifest Christ. Let me bring this down a little bit more. I just want you to get this if you can. Help us, Lord. I love Brother David picking on Brother. I'm going to pick on you, Brother David. Hope you're okay. Brother David spent 40-some years of his life fleeing from God, running from God, rebelling against God. You know one of the reasons why? Because he hated headship, and he didn't want to be a fool. He was too cool. And yet, even in that, way before David is ever born again, he'd come to church and dance and sing and shout and act like a total fool in front of everybody. Go out and get high and get drunk and run around, come back to church. And how many people were just scalded in their legalism that Brother Jerry allowed this to happen? Some of you don't even deny it. You know what it was? God getting David to a point where he says, you are going to worship me in spirit and in truth, and you're going to make a fool yourself. And now David leads the charge in worship. Doesn't he? Because see, the rest of you, no matter how crazy you act, you're never going to act as crazy as David does. It gives such a freedom. It creates such a freedom in here of worship. Because David gets up and screams and shouts. He comes up to sing a special. He talks for 15 minutes and sings for 20 seconds. That's what God has anointed him to do. Why? Because God is using him to keep all those spooky spirits. Oh, well, I wonder if I act this way. I wonder if I act that way. I don't want to be out of order. I don't want to. Oh, please. We don't even have that stuff anymore. Why? Because God has taken that gift and all the trials he has gone through with preparing Dave for this time for him to act crazy. Now that just busts the teeth out of so many people's church order. And that's what it is. That's what God wants it to be. You can look at your life. Let me pick another one. Sister Brenda, she ain't here tonight. I was down there visiting. Was it last weekend, Brother Tom? And she was talking about how you all know she had cancer. She said, I hate saying this. She said, when I had cancer, nobody from my church visited me. Nobody. Even the pastor never visited me. And you know what that trial molded into Sister Brenda? She walks in the door. What does she do? She loves everybody. She ain't afraid of anything. She said, you've had a bad day. She'll call you up, won't she? Somebody, she called me. She said, you had a bad day in church yesterday, didn't you? Well, isn't that a little bit nosy? No, it's not. She's expressing love. And what has happened is she said, I'm going to make sure everyone feels welcome. I am going to love everybody. And she told me she calls these people. They don't like it. She calls them anyways. She's not afraid about her. It's not about her feelings. It's not about her religion. And she says, I want you to know, brother and sister, that I love you. That's why that trial molded into her. And now she goes out there, and how can you feel bad about anything? How can you feel funny feelings? Because she's going around talking to everybody, no matter if they have funny feelings or not. She's loving. It's the love of God being manifest, and that's what we needed. Think about it. We affect each other. When we are manifest Christ, it affects. It's easy for me to go and say, Brother Gene, I love you. Why? Because Sister Brenda comes and says it anyway, so who am I? Do you see how it knocks down Satan's wall? Do you see how it makes it just brings the Spirit of Christ among us more? Because that gift that you have when you anoint, God anointed, it produces Christ and it affects the whole group. That excites me. I see Jesus Christ. Yeah, that silence is over. Christ is on flesh, is in flesh, he's on earth, and he has a voice. It's the voice of the bride. She said, even so, come quickly, Lord, because this world is driving me crazy, but I am so excited. I could talk about most of you and give examples of how those trials that you've had have created, have brought you to a place where you are manifesting Christ, that gift that you have. I could, and you could too, if you're just honest with yourself. You know why you don't do it? Because you're afraid to step up and say, God is really doing this, because you make so many mistakes and you have so many weaknesses, and you're afraid to say, well, if I actually say this, maybe I'm getting a little ahead of myself, and maybe God will just come and say, well, not you, and you know, so I'll claim this, and then something's going to happen and something's not going to believe. I'm going to feel like such a fool. Then you need to feel like a fool, because your pride is keeping you from confessing what God's doing in your life. You know what we need to be like? We need to be like little Michael. He could care less about anything right now. He has something on his mind. He is standing at the top of the stairs earlier tonight. And it was dark downstairs. Dark! 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 Papa, dark! Dark, Papa, dark. He said it 50 times, at least. He had that focus, one thing on his mind. It's dark down there. Oh, if we could get that focus on Christ, on what your purpose is. Hey, I love you. I love you. I love you. Now, we aren't going to be Sister Brenda. Don't go and try to be Sister Brenda. Don't go and try to be Brother David. That's the gifts they have. What is your gift? How are you supposed to help? You think Brother Todd knew 20 or 30 years ago when he was drudging through IT stuff that he had to come and set up an excellent site for us? Have you ever seen Sister Joyce upset? Look what she's gone through. What a testimony. She lived with David. Look at the loss. She's buried two children. Have you seen her depressed? Have you seen her dejected? Have you seen her just tore up? You think she hasn't been? Oh my goodness, you talk about a rock. Well, yeah, she's a sister. Yeah, she's Sister Rock. You know who one of the most encouraging people in this church is? Brother Jim Hornet. You say, well, how can it be Brother Jim? He skips church half the Thursdays. Yep. And sometimes he comes to church and he just beat down. And he just kind of, you can see he's just going through it. The next time he's doing that, why don't you walk up and start talking to him about what God's done? And you're going to see the change come over him. And he's going to start talking about, he saw Brother Tim, and God has done this, and God's done that. And you walk away from it. I don't know how he walks away, but I walk away totally encouraged. Because I know for him to get to that point, God is working in his life. I could go on and on. We're going to just stop to save time. Let me ask you this. Who has more grace for you than Brother Jerry? Who has more patience for your weakness? You think all the trials he's been through have been in vain? I can't tell you the times over the years when I had to go and talk to Brother Jerry about something and I think he's going to be so disappointed in me. I have never experienced that. Why? Because he's been through the weakness. He's been through the struggles. He knows what it is. He knows what it's like. You come up to be prayed for. Does he ever say, well, my goodness, what's wrong with you? How come you're still dealing with that? Get over it. Now, if you have a bad attitude, he's going to chew you out from the pulpit. If you have a bad attitude, he needs to. But when you come up with a repentant heart, or you go to him with something bothering, show me one person you know who has more grace. I never met him. What are you saying, Brother Phil? I'm saying the bride of Christ is reaching a maturity she's never had. We are this close, brother and sister. We are so close. So close. The shuck is pulled away. And we're standing there. And they're all looking at us and say, what a bunch of fools. Look at those people. What's wrong with them? Don't they know how to get out of the shade? And get into the shade. Get out of the sun. My goodness. You're out there where you're being buffeted by the wind. The sun's beating down on you. The rain. And you're going through all this. You just sit there all by yourself. Just holding still. I wouldn't sit in that kind of a place. I wouldn't sit there. I'm a message believer. Look, I look just like you. It's true. Pull the shuck off and you can look at it. It looks just like the grain until you squeeze it. You know what happens when you squeeze hard grain? It's a hard little thing. You cannot crush that with your fingers. You know what happens when you squish shut? It just squeezes like plastic. There's no character to it. And it's very light. And when it falls out, it can be blown around with every wind of doctrine. But it looks good. It looks holy. Try eating it. There's nothing to it. Amen. Y'all good? Let's stand. The bride has made herself ready. Are we completely there yet? Probably not. Brother and sister, if you can look around and recognize what's happened, surely it gives you courage. Surely you're encouraged. And I, John, saw the holy city coming down as a bride adorned for her husband. And Christ is looking at you, Jesus Christ, looking at you and say, she's beautiful. She's beautiful. Oh, I long for her. Christ in you. I'm sorry. I'm trying to quit. I got to read this one more scripture. It just came to my mind. Colossians. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. So Paul is saying this mystery which had been hid from ages for generations, but now is made manifest. Not because you heard it preached, that was the beginning, but now it's being manifest. the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Preaching us into a rapture. That's what's happening. Lord Jesus, we are so thankful that you would come and take this word and open it to us, Lord. That, Lord, it's not just an education. It's not just, oh, we see something and we want to go talk about it as a theology. But Lord Jesus, we see a manifestation. We know that it can come and it can be preached because it's gone past the point where Satan can use it to damage, or Satan can use it to impersonate, because we have come to a reality, Lord Jesus, where the Word is made flesh, where Christ in us, the hope of glory, is something that we see. We see it with the spiritual eyes. We even see it with our natural eyes. Lord, we can hear it. We hear the coming of the combine. Lord, it's harvest time. It's harvest time. The grain is coming so close. And the world has pulled away and the darkness is fleeing from it. But Lord Jesus, we love this light. We stand in it, Lord. We seek more and we say, oh, come. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. Because surely it's time for us to go. The world recognizes that it's falling apart. The world recognizes we're in bad shape. The world recognizes that they need something to save them. We've been sealed away into your ark. We've been sealed away from the judgment that is striking. And people can't think right anymore. Their ability to reason is gone. The real ability to have logical thought is gone. They've been deceived. Oh God, you've kept us. You kept your little bride. And so many times we didn't recognize it. So many times we didn't know what was going on. So many times we misunderstood. And even now, so-called message believers are falling away left and right because they don't understand. Lord, we came to a point where, like Peter, we said, where would we go? There's no place to go to. We know that this message has been proven to us to have the words of life. And it is accomplishing that which it was sent for. And we thank you, Lord Jesus. I pray you'd be with this little group of people, with our pastor, with his family, with everyone here. Lord, keep us safe. Lord, come back Sunday morning ready, Lord, ready to hear from you again. Come back prayed up. Come back ready. Come back with an expectation, with a thirst. Lord, if we can do that, if we will come with that right attitude, you have promised, you are faithful, you will be here, Lord, to meet our needs. Thank you again, Lord Jesus. Yes, this in your name. Amen. Amen. That little song we were singing, I love you, my Lord. I love you.